smile for the next 2 weeks. This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can learn what it says I can learn. I can go where it says I can go. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, go with me to Mark, the second chapter. Mark, the second chapter. And we're going to talk about going the extra mile. Going the extra mile. I like what Zig Ziglar said. It's a phrase he said for years. Zig says, there's no traffic jam on the extra mile. That's a good saying, isn't it? There's no traffic jam on the extra mile. And the reason there's no traffic jam on the extra mile is because it takes extra effort. And that's why they call it the extra mile. Next week we'll look in some of the things Jesus said, if you're going to be an extra miler, you need to do these things. And he points out specifically in the Word what we need to do and the benefits and blessings that go along with it. Today I just want to show you, give you an example of what an extra miler looks like. And I wish it would have given us more information in this story. There's four guys that we're going to look at that were carrying a friend to Jesus and did whatever it would take to get him in the presence and get his Jesus audience, if you will. But they were bound and determined to get him there. And I wish he would have put in this story, I wish he would have told us who they are. It doesn't say if they were four best friends growing up. You know, you look across the roles and you see friends sitting by friends, and maybe some of you go to school together and grown up. We've had people come in our church and say, I went to school with them. You know, Alice and Paul, I think, went to school together, and somehow or another they'd known each other for a long time ago, you know, and you see old friends, and so maybe they were friends. They were high school buddies and grew up together, and maybe they were camel racers. Man number five that's paralyzed fell off his camel. It doesn't say, but we know that these guys, they love him because they go to extra lengths to take him into the presence of Jesus. But I thought it would be so neat. Now, here's the neat deal about that. When we get to heaven, we can sit down with these guys and we can say, tell us the rest of the story. In fact, if you want me to, I'll invite us all over for popcorn. How many want me to invite you when I ask the story? Okay. I'll remember in heaven. I'll forget you here, but I'll remember as soon as we get to heaven. I'll call you three or four that want to come. And what we'll do, we'll sit down and we'll have some just popcorn soaked in butter, which will be calorie-free in heaven. That'll make you shout, won't it?
Yeah.
Because, you know, our body's going to change in heaven, isn't it? We'll have to count calories and do all the things. But then we'll sit down and we'll say, tell us about the story. You know, we saw and hear. And I think the reason God didn't put it in there, who they were, is because I got to thinking about it. I thought we would probably say this. Well, you know, those are real close friends and this was an unusual situation. So he didn't give us any information about this situation other than there's four men. That's all. They're not mentioning anybody by name or anything. They're just four men. And they're the extra mile mentality. They have the extra mile mentality. They're going to go the extra mile for their friend. And so that's all it says about them. But we'll have to see when we get to heaven. Mark chapter 2 and verse 1. And again he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately many gathered together so that there were no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. He preached the word to them. Then they came to him bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And that's all the recognition they're going to get, is just they were carried by four men. Doesn't say who, exactly what they did and all, but it just four men. And I think maybe that's significant in the fact that it, you know, it's not somebody probably that's well known. These are just four average, everyday people that said, we're going to go the extra mile for our friend. The extra mile for our friend. How many of you have got some friends in your life that you need to go the extra mile for because they're off of the path and they're headed for destruction? And so keep that in mind as we preach today, that you know what? there's somebody probably that you know that you need to go the extra mile for. They're headed down the road of destruction, and this is what these men represent. Their friend had a great need in his life. Doesn't say if he was born this way. Probably, I would assume he wasn't, that something happened because of their determination. But whatever the case, there's people in our lives that we need to go the extra mile for. I've had relatives and friends that I had to pray for 2 or 3 years before they'd get saved. And that's kind of the extra mile. When you can't see fruit in your prayers, how many knows we're instant people? Boy, we put microwave our popcorn. We don't wait for the grease to get hot. We got to microwave it. Just put it in, push a button. You know, we want to push a button. We hop in our cars. You know, and by the way, we may be taking that for granted one of these days. I heard somebody say, one of the analysts say, 40 years there'll be no more oil. And he's predicting. Now, some of us, that won't make any difference. I'll be in the nursing home if I'm here. Well, maybe not. There's some 90-year-olds that aren't. Miss Lucille's with us today, and she's like the Energizer Bunny, and she's still going. And so maybe we'll be like her, and we'll still be praising Jesus. But, you know, we get used to these easy things, and it's hard for us to do the extra because we're so used to easy and quick and all these sort of things. But anyway, the house was crowded. In verse 3, they came to him bringing a paralytic who was carried by 4 men. Verse 4, and when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." Some of the scribes, the religious leaders, were sitting in there and reasoning in their hearts. Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Can you just hear it in their voice? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, "Why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Arise and take up your bed and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, arise and take up your bed and go to your house." Immediately, the paralytic, he arose and took up his bed and went out in the presence of them all. And listen to what the Bible said. And all were amazed. All were amazed. People get amazed when you see an extra miler. All were amazed. You know, it's kind of like the athlete that will go the extra mile and put in the extra effort. And you see this flawless performance. We're all standing there. We're all amazed. One of our own young men from OU made the Olympics. And then one of our gymnasts, this weekend, he secured his spot. And I thought, you know, wonder how many hours and hours and hours he put in going the extra mile to get this chance and this opportunity. And so we'll get to see one of our own in the World Olympics in this summer. Talking about the extra mile. And people are amazed when they go the extra mile. And said, and not only that, and they glorify God. See, now that's the part that we should strive after. The people are amazed, and in the extra mile, let me tell you something right now. Is the extra mile, there's people that are amazed, and there's people that are grumbling. Did you notice that? There's both. That's what stirs up people when you go the extra mile. I want you to remember that, because you think everybody should be amazed, right, when you go the extra mile. That's not so. It always causes a reaction, but here's what happens. Some are going to be amazed and inspired, and some are going to grumble. Now, let me say this. As Christians, we should always give them the benefit of the doubt. Let me give you an example. A friend of mine, a pastor friend of mine, they're doing prayer walks and putting out flyers in communities and another part of the city, and said, provoked another church to jealousy, and now they're blanketing our neighborhood with flyers. I said, well, that's one way to look at it. I said, how about you inspired them to do something? I said, when I heard you were doing prayer walks, it inspired us, and we're doing prayer walks. I said, you know, isn't it funny how Christians, we take the negative approach when something good is happening? And she was kind of quiet on the end, you know, for a little while, and said, "Well, I guess that's one way to look at it." See, we're extra mile says, "I'm going to give you extra grace." But when the world criticizes you for what you're doing, I'm gonna give you extra grace, whatever that is. You know what you now gonna get. That's what the extra mile person does, okay? And so we need to be an extra mile person. But I just want you to know, because sometimes when we're going the extra mile and we get criticized, it makes you want to quit. Are you with me? Have you ever said this? "Well, I just did this and this and this, and they didn't say thank you or kiss my foot or anything." Well, I'll say it for them. Kiss my foot. Does that make you feel better? Now, you know what you're saying? I wanted a response, see? And so there's that neutral, that even aggravates us when we're going the extra mile. But here's what I want you to know. These men, and just put yourself in their position, they're bringing him to Jesus Christ. Now, the Bible says that the house is full, and they can't even get in the door. And so there's people standing all out in the yard, and just think about this, that there's people in that audience, in that crowd, that probably have just as pressing a need as the guy that they're bringing to Jesus. What if it's you? What if you brought one of your sick loved ones and you're standing out waiting for your turn, and all of a sudden you look up and they're cheating, they're cutting in line? But here's your sick loved one, and because you're a compliant Christian, you would never, ever dare think of tearing anyone's roof off the house. Here's what you would say if you're that compliant type. "If I tore the roof off the house, that would be sinning and Jesus wouldn't bless me." Think about it. Jesus is getting ready to bless somebody just tore somebody's property up. And all he said was he saw their faith. And if you're the homeowner, you can say, "Yeah, did you see that big hole in the roof?" Huh? Listen, I know this for a fact. If the guy that invited Jesus into his house wasn't excited and concerned about the hole in the roof, his wife was. How many ladies you would get excited if you were sitting there and your husband had invited Jesus into your house for a prayer meeting, and now all these people are here? You don't have enough restroom facilities for everybody, so you know what's going to happen on your property. All you holy ladies saying, "Ooh, ooh." I mean, these are things the Bible doesn't teach us and tell us, you know, because it doesn't matter. But this is things that I'm just trying to help us to say, this is why we don't go the extra mile, is because you have all these people in your house, in every room, strangers with their disease and their sickness, and they're hanging around your house. We don't even like to invite healthy strangers over to our house. We're a bunch of sissy Christians, if you want to know the truth. That's why I said the first year, I want to just be known as a friend of a sinner. Whatever that takes. Whatever that takes. You know, I'm not going to sin. I'm not going to, you know, compromise morals and values and ethics. But I want to just love them where they are. I don't want them to think I'm better than you because the grace has been given to me. But for the grace of God, so go I. Okay? And so here they are, and they're tearing the roof off the house, and this lady, I'm sure, she's thinking, "Who's paying for this?" Maybe the man is thinking that. Jesus, but what is Jesus thinking? Because we want to think like Jesus, so we should be thinking, "Wow, what faith is that?" But I just want you to know, in the crowd, there's going to be people criticizing those that went the extra mile because their personality is different, their makeup's different. They would have never, ever took that route and torn off the roof. Chances are, where you got five people, somebody in that crowd was a little bit hesitant as well. But they had a dominant person in there that says, when they said, "Oh man, the crowd's too big and it looks like this is for nothing." That's probably what some of them were thinking. because of the mixture of personalities in this group. Probably some of them were saying, just too many people, we'll probably never get to him. If it is, it's going to take a long time. But one person probably in the crowd says this, what do you guys think about going through the roof? And the compliant person goes, are you serious? And I can see one of the other buddies saying, you know Ned, he's serious. And they all start saying, you're serious, aren't you? And he picks up the corner of the stretcher and he says, come on, pick it up. We're going to the roof. See, one thing about extra mile is they're exciting. Because they'll take risk that other people won't take. They will. They just take risk that other people won't take. I got a motorcycle. I don't know how many people. Strangers. I was in Bronx the other day having ice cream. I was carrying my helmet. This older gentleman says, got a motorcycle? No, I just carry my helmet around wherever I go. I'm walking. I sprayed out a fall and bump my head. You know? Like the guy says, here's your sign, you know? That's what I see. I got a motorcycle. Those things are dangerous, you know. Yes, sir, I've heard that. I just like to live on the edge kind of guy. No, I didn't say that. I said, I've heard that. Here's what you got to do. You got to look out for the other person. That's what you got to do. Yep. I thought that's what I do anyway. I'm always looking out for you. Lord, I know they're ornery and lazy. Bless them anyway. Bless them anyway, Lord. Come on. Come on. That's what pastors do. We pray over you and bless you, and when you don't show up and don't do your part, we still bless you, and you know, that's what we do. So I'm always looking out. But you know, it's amazing. People just always looking out for you. And so God sent, is it Bob? An instructor to help me. And Bill told me he took the 2-day course. How many knows Bill got a motorcycle? He's older than me. So get on to him before you leave. Him and Millie's got a truck. We're all going to go biking. Millie and Janet's going to be our biker chicks. All I'm saying is, you know, I get a bike and people just start saying, you know, oh. And I know it's two wheels are riskier than four. But how many saw a car wreck this week or last week or heard one on the news? You know, a school bus. There's risk. There's risk involved. And when we're going the extra mile, I just want you to know there's risk involved. When you lay yourself out and you're loving people, there's risk involved. They never knew whether they would be able to see Jesus or not, but they took a risk. If they hadn't taken a risk, we wouldn't have this story to look at today and say, you know what? God blesses those that go the extra mile. When Dennis was talking about giving his testimony about the dollar thing, I didn't say give a dollar, I said give an extra dollar.
That's right.
He gave two extra dollars today.
Next week I'm going to give
three. I just told him, he was saying I'm $100 short and this and that, and I said, well, sow a seed. Sow a seed, meet a need. Just give an extra dollar. If you need 100, then pray for 100 fold. 30, 60, 100 fold. That's biblical principles and laws that you and I can operate under. So he gave the extra dollar, gave what, the extra mile. It's not much extra, is it? But he gave the extra. And so here comes a little thing that he got to go out and do. He said it took 30 minutes, $100. Was that a coincidence? I don't think so. He went the extra mile. When the missionary was here the other day, Jan and I gave extra. She didn't know it, but we did. And we usually talk about bigger gifts, you know, but I had that in my mind. I just forgot to tell her about it and talk it over with her. And so I said, I need your checkbook. What for? I said, well, we gave this to the... Really? And that's my fault. We should talk about stuff like that when we give a bigger gift. But I didn't. And so I said, just write it out, and I'll talk to you later about it. So she wrote it out. We got audited. We got audited. I got a tax lady that she does. She used to be IRS, and she said, "I'll take care of it." And so she did. She took care of it for $800. But here's the deal. I saw her daughter the other day at Brahms. Her daughter says to me, "Jack, did you get that paper from the IRS?" I said, "Yeah, I got it." She said, "You're getting money back." And it's not just hundreds, it's thousands we're getting back. Her mama didn't even know how we're getting so much money back. But she said, "You know, that's awesome." And they're great Christian people. And I thought, well, we just sowed some extra seeds and gave a sacrificial gift, and then God blesses us, you know. You go the extra mile. But there's people that's going to criticize you for going the extra mile. You and your spouse may not even agree, and you need to agree on what you do. But I'm telling you, you go the extra mile, and there's just extra benefits. There's extra risk, and there's extra benefits. Now, you just have to determine, do you want extra benefits, or do you just want to be in the land of, in the wilderness, and just get the manna? A lot of Christians settle for manna. Because they don't want to stretch, and they don't want to... And you notice, these guys, here's what's so neat about these extra miles. They're not doing any of this for themselves. There's no benefit in it from them, except for they're planning their life and their efforts and their energy in a friend. That's why I wish we knew the story. I wish we knew who it was, and that's why I can't wait to talk to him about that and see who that is. It's good. That stuff just really... intrigues my imagination, and so there's so many things I can't wait to get to heaven on. You say, "Well, keep riding that motorcycle, you'll get there." But here they are, and one of them says, let's go through the roof. And so I don't know which one it was or how many, but one of them, all it takes is one. Just one person that says, "Let's go the extra mile for this case. Let's go the extra mile for this individual. Let's go the extra mile for this person's salvation. Let's go the extra mile for this person's, you know, physical health, for their financial health, for whatever it is, their spiritual health. Let's go the extra mile in this case." You know, God, what person or what cause would you have me to go the extra mile? Just takes a prayer. If you ask, God said, "I will tell you what I want you to go the extra mile." We think of asking is stuff for ourselves, but to have a bigger call, something bigger than you. We all love the story where people come and they do something huge off some little something that's done. You know, there's ladies, I forget what all she was doing for our soldiers, but it just caught on, and people just began to send these supplies and things that she was sending because there was a need. Just one little homemaker. I love those kind of stories about an extra mile person that would just, you know, catch on for Jesus Christ. Jordan, Millie and Bill's grandson, invited a neighbor to church, came last Sunday. Who's Jordan? How old is Jordan? 5. How many things if a 5-year-old gets a visitor here? You could.
Amen. Come on.
The extra mile. Extra mile. I've got a neighbor, his name is Wee. He's an Asian, and I just want to win Wee to Jesus. And I haven't even talked to him about it and what his faith is or don't know. But I just, if he's not, I want to win him. If he is, I just want him to be my buddy. You know, he's got a motorcycle, I've got one, and we talk all the time, and I've helped him with his lawn on some things. I just want to win him to Jesus. He's one of my extra mile cases. He's my neighbor. Love your neighbor, what? If it's convenient. If you got time. If you're not too wore out. No, love your neighbor as yourself. How many knows if you're going to love your neighbor as yourself, it's going to take what? Extra effort. Extra effort. But I'm telling you, the blessings, to know that one day I'll look across and see we in heaven and his family with me. That's worth it to me. Worth it to me. So here they are, and people, I know people are just people. So I know there's people out there that's been standing and waiting in line, and here come these four amigos with their friend, and they're tearing the roof off, and all of the compliant people standing out there is aggravated. Is that the intent of the extra mile people? No. What's their intent? Is their intent is to get this individual healed? This is something we should ask ourselves. When we're getting aggravated at somebody, we ought to say, what is their motive? Are they trying to tick me off? Because sometimes people do. But even then, what Jesus say, love them. Even when they're trying to tick you off, pray for them, bless them. We'll talk about that next week. Extra mile mentality. And I'll show you how to get the extra mile mentality. Get the kind of mentality these individuals had. When's the last time that you went the extra mile? It takes more effort to go the extra mile, and there's no guarantee that when you take go the extra mile, it's going to pay off for you today. I was reading a story. How many of you have ever read about King Josiah in the Old Testament? King Josiah was a man, after he tried to emulate David, what he did. He looked at the book, and he tried to just go by the book. I mean, the written word that they had at the time. He was determined, and he tore down all the high places, and he tore down all the things that the kings had gone before him didn't. And God was ready to destroy Israel again, to give them over to the enemy because of their disobedience. And so he prolonged it for a while, but Josiah was an extra mile Christian or man of God. And he went all this extra mile, and I'm looking and I'm reading and I'm thinking, man, he's going to get blessed. And guess what? He got killed. I thought, well, I better not use him for an example. If you go the extra mile, you can get killed just like Josiah. Let me get excited about that. But you know what? When you serve God, how many knows when we die, that's not the end of the story? That's just I like the phrase somebody was saying, I wrote it in my Bible. It says, when Christian dies, they're not leaving home, they're going home. Isn't that a great phrase? We're going home. And so here Josiah has put the kingdom of Israel back into a biblical perspective. He's put them back in a godly manner now. And they're worshiping God. And the people are excited about it. But those that had gone before him planted these seeds, and all of a sudden the reaping time is coming and he happens to be king. That's kind of like our president. You know, for all you that are stressed out about who's going to be president, you don't need to stress. God sets up government and he tears them down. My friend Terry said, oh, you know, Pastor, the only thing I'm afraid of, we'll get who we deserve. Huh? Because of the seeds we planted. And so it's our position is to pray for our country and pray for our leaders and then trust God. You know, God knows, and God's not up in heaven pacing, say, oh, I hope this one don't win. I hope this one don't win. He's not. He wasn't concerned even when Hillary was running. I'm just kidding. I'm trying to see how much grace is in here. Is there any grace? Can I get any grace? Yeah. Boy, you don't preach about politics, do you? And I'm not. That was bad, Pastor. Bad, Pastor. I'm just saying, you can trust God. And even when you go the extra mile, and it doesn't seem like, it doesn't feel like, it doesn't seem like there's blessing in it. How many knows that you can trust the Word of God? And the Bible said, when you go the extra mile, you get the extra blessing. Either here or over on the other side, but you can trust God that you're going to receive the extra blessing. Are you with me? Put in the extra homework. Well, I did, it just didn't pay off. Well, keep putting in the extra. I see young people put in the extra effort and they get the better jobs. They get the bigger blessings. And then people are jealous of them. The extra effort people. And don't let them kid you. Those students that make straight A's and say they don't study, they lie. You know, you have to put your... You know, now some people it comes easier for. But be one of the ones that says, you know what, I'll go the extra effort. I'll go for... Jesus saw their faith when they came and they put forth the extra effort. I was reading a story a couple weeks ago about a young man. In 2004, he was a praise leader at a large church, and he told his pastor at the time, he said, you know what, I'll lead praise for a little while. He said, he's a very talented musician and a pastor, or ability to preach. But he said, I'll lead for a little while, but he said, God has called me to pastor a big church in a big city. I think he's 28 years old now, so it would have been 2004, you know, 24 years old. Big church, big city. That's a big statement, isn't it, for a kid? But his pastor said, well, tell me about it. So he told him about it, and he said, well, I won't leave you here empty-handed. It's a big church that he was in. He said, and I'll send people with you, and I'll finance your trip when you get ready to leave. And so he sent like three or four couples with this young couple, and they went out. 2 o'clock in the morning, Charlotte, North Carolina. He told his team, I thought, what is a young pastor doing up at 2 o'clock in the morning? I guess he's going the extra mile. 2 o'clock in the morning, he said, they're driving through Charlotte, North Carolina. He said, this is it. This is the place. 2005, he started gathering a little crew together. 2006, they launched their church. 2008, Easter, they had 4,000 people. You know what old people like me call them? Smart alecks. Go for Jesus, you know? But man, that inspired me. 4,000 people. Last Easter, you know what they did last Easter? They rented a helicopter and dropped 50,000 plastic eggs on a football field for an egg hunt for their city. You think they got some coverage for that? You know what they did? Here's an extra mile for you. They were going to do a stewardship campaign, a capital campaign. Raise some money. Not for a building, but to win their city. All this money's going on winning Charlotte, North Carolina. So they wanted to raise it, so they called John Maxwell. They brought him in. Guess what they did? The first Sunday, they took their offering, and guess what they did with the first offering they had taken that Sunday morning? They gave it all away. $40,000 is what their offering was on Sunday morning. They gave it all away. Increments of five, ten, fifties, hundreds, up to $1,000 you could come and get. Here was the key. You couldn't spend any of it on you. You had to go out into their city and find a need and spend the money that you had collected from the offering and go meet a need. They said the people came back with all kinds of testimonies about what God had done as they just handed people and blessed people across their city with this money. Guess how much they raised in pledges for the next two or three years? $6 million. Don't you know his mama's proud? Extra mile. He's just going the extra mile. Extra mile. Now listen, we'll probably never reach 4,000, but how many knows if you go the extra mile, you can reach some. Remember the old story about the sand dollars on the beach, and remember that? I love that, because that's a powerful thing about, you know, Grandpa and the kids walking along, and there's thousands of them, he's throwing a few back in there. Remember what he said? Well, you can't make a difference. Look at all the sand dollars down. They're all going to die. And he said, it matters to this one as he threw it out in the water. It matters to the one that you're going to reach, but it's going to take extra effort. We're living in a postmodern society, and it's not church as usual. We can't just expect them to come. We got to go out and pray over them, and we've got to put our effort into it and say, you know what? This community is worth winning for Jesus. What I'd like for you to start helping us do is pray over our communities at least. If you don't want to walk, just at least pray over our community. Extra prayer for our communities. And then we want to do some extra things that we've got planned for them this fall and this coming year. Just extra things that we can do to win our community. And when you go the extra mile, one of the communities that we're walking in, one of our neighbors is here today. And I asked her, I said, we're walking in your community. And my wife's paranoid because they don't have curbs out there. And so, you know, you park off the street and you're right in their yard. They have big, nice acreages. And I said, so she gets paranoid about having her car towed. I thought, that'd be cool to have your car towed for Jesus, wouldn't it? I think that would go a long ways when you got to heaven. It says here they towed your car back in 2008. Tell me about that. Well, man, we were out walking the community and praying over them. And, oh, that'll get you some merit right there. Write that down. But just to help her, our new friend says we can park in her driveway. She said, I'll even give you a water break. So, hallelujah. See, you go the extra effort and God will send people to bless you. Okay? So maybe somebody, and I was just getting ready to ask. I told our prayer partners, I said, don't tell Miss Jana, because I'm going to go out and I'm going to ask somebody if we can park in their driveway. And then I come find out we have someone that lives there, and so there's gracious enough. But listen, there's extra blessings on the extra mile. Would you join me and just say, let's quit being regular Christians. Let's go the extra mile. Go the extra mile. You know, if you lack joy in your life, sow some extra joy into somebody else's life. Do something to make them smile. If you're having a hard time coping and mentally and about a situation, go bless somebody else with prayer and a listening ear and say, I'm sowing, I'm going the extra mile. And I know God will bless me. We don't go for our things, but we go just knowing that anytime you're on the extra mile, there's extra blessing. That's just the law. That's the way it is. Just the way it is. They took risk and they went the extra mile. And here's what happened. The man received his healing. Doctors couldn't heal him. There's no cure for that today in our society. Remember Christopher Reeves trying everything he could to walk again, and it just didn't happen. But way back then, the extra mile blessing, there was healing for the paralytic. God received glory. What have we done lately that God has received glory? God has received glory for it. And then finally, the men that went the extra mile, they are rewarded by their healthy friend every day from that day forward till they went to be with Jesus. They got to see that. And can you imagine the gratitude that friend must have had? What if you were paralyzed and somebody did that for you? Can you imagine how grateful you would be that your friends... How many believes that day he just created some monsters that said, man, I know what Jesus can do. And I think that that just... Not only that five men, but I think people out in the crowd did whatever it would take from that point on to get to Jesus Christ and get their friends to Jesus. Maybe the little widow with the issue of blood, maybe she was there that day. Maybe she was just thinking, well, if they can tear that roof off, I'm weak, but I can press through this crowd. Remember, extra mile people inspire or they provoke. Not intentionally, but it's going to cause reaction for people. So dare to be an extra miler for the blessings that's waiting for you. Pray the extra prayer. Give the extra time and effort. And see what God will do through you. I believe He'll do just as great a thing as He does for these young men, as He's doing through that young pastor that says, God has called me, and I'm doing extraordinary things, and God is blessing in an extraordinary way for the cause of Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank You for showing us men that remain nameless to us, but Lord, You know who they are. What a great story as they took their friend into Your presence. And we thank You, Lord, for reminding us that all this effort, and though it wasn't an orthodox way, it was pleasing to You. You blessed their efforts. The Bible says You saw their faith. You didn't see a gaping hole in the roof. You didn't see men of destruction. You saw men of faith. God, there's risk involved in going the extra mile to have extra grace for somebody that we're angry with, to have extra love for somebody that has hurt us so deeply, to give extra offering when we really are suffering ourselves, to give extra energy when we're drained for the kingdom of God. Just remind us, Lord, that there's blessing. There's extra blessing. There's extraordinary blessing on the extra mile. That's where You operate. And Your fullness is on the extra mile. So help us to get out of our comfort zone today and say, God, make me an extra miler. Where is it that You would have me to go the extra mile? What cause would You have me to get a hold of? What do You want to fix in me? And what do You want me to do? Going the extra mile. that would change my city, that would change this relationship, that would change this individual, that would change our neighborhood. What is it that you want us to do, Lord, in going the extra mile? Show us, Holy Spirit. Make us extra mile Christians for the glory of God. That people will stand and give you glory and honor and praise, just the way they did on this day when this man was healed and you saw their faith. Teach us, Lord, that the benefits are worth it. They're worth the extra effort. Help us to believe that in our heart and to practice that in our walk. In Jesus' name, amen. And while Christians are praying, heads are bowed. If you're here today and you...